This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving.
I've heard the whistleblower
today.
Word mentioned more times in my life the past week and a half than at any other point, and certainly we've done stories on whistleblowers. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney broadcasting from New York City. I was here earlier in the day for the 2019 Bank of America Women Business Owner Spotlight. Thrilled to be here and talking to some really interesting people about what's happening in the world of business. Look for some of those really cool stories coming up later in the week. I guess that's the best way to describe it. Anytime you can spend time with someone like Sharon Miller, who's the head of small business for Bank of America, and find out what really is happening in the world of lending, especially for entrepreneurs, and they are the world's, or the country's anyway, biggest lender to small businesses, it's really intriguing to me. Also intriguing is this story about the State Department calling an urgent meeting with the committee. So this meeting is expected to be held in some kind of a secure location on Capitol Hill, and of course it comes during the congressional recess. It could be in connection with that whistleblower report concerning the State Department's role, of course, in the actions between the president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, and officials from the Ukraine. I'm going to say that this is also the most that I've heard the Ukraine mentioned in my lifetime within the past week and a half. Makes sense, because I say this show is about what's the buzz in your backyard and mine, and impeachment and the upcoming election as we swing into this last quarter officially in October, the last quarter of the year of 2019, and we get ready for another election in this country. So let's dive a little bit deeper into what I know. There was absolutely staffers from House and Senate committees that are going to hear an urgent briefing from the State Department's Inspector General, that's who it is, concerning these documents connected to the State Department in the Ukraine. The documents were obtained from the Department's Office for the Legal Advisor, or Office of, rather, the Legal Advisor. That briefing was requested by the State Department Inspector General, and some of the details aren't really out there. My quick calls during the day and conversations pretty much say that, okay, this is setting the groundwork for the whistleblower and ultimately the conversation that will ensue. But remember, the Inspector General's office works independently of the state's political leadership, and of course the department has been under fire, or criticized anyway, for its role connecting Rudy Giuliani with the Ukraine about investigating Democratic presidential candidate and former VP Joe Biden and his son Hunter. So here's what I can say: stay tuned. It seems like a trite little phrase that we constantly use in connection to what's going on with this whole impeachment inquiry, but it just is filled with a different twist and turn every single day. So what's the president's reaction? He certainly isn't going to be quiet about this, and the president obviously not happy and talking about the fact that he says he's the victim of a coup attempt. That was the latest of what he described as what's going on, and he said it's a coup designed to take away power of the people. And he said that the impeachment inquiry against him is just simply that. Again, a coup, and more specifically, what he tweeted out, because, of course, that's what happens. There was a shot of the U.S. House and articles of impeachment, and then he tweeted out the greatest witch hunt in the history of the country. So he sent out a link to that, the president did, and the president suggested that the people who informed the whistleblower's complaint are close to a spy. Somebody that I had dinner with earlier in the evening said to me, you know, when you look at the op-ed pieces, and this was somebody who leans democratically, he said to me, when you look at the op-ed pieces in the Washington Post and in the New York Times, you have to say that it is a constant barrage, again and again and again, no matter what it is, about Donald Trump. And then you wonder why the media gets slammed so much, that when is, you know, what's the high water point? And with this impeachment inquiry, I think the answer to that is that's just going to continue on. Pompeo, the Democrats are saying, may just quite simply be involved in a blatant cover-up, so they're really looking underneath the hood to see what's going on with, you know, with him. I think in the middle of all of the speculation and what, you know, what's happened with the with this impeachment process and the whistleblower and, you know, the back and forth over that, that so much focus has been there, but there's been something else where there has been some attention, and that something else is over the police officer and the shooting of an innocent man. Frankly, it was the most shocking story that I can recall in a long time in the city of Dallas. But the sentencing phase of the trial begins following the murder conviction of the ex-Dallas police officer Amber Geiger. Attorneys for the family of Botham Jean say the killing left his relatives a shell of their former selves. And again, she said she was exhausted. She went into her building, didn't realize it was in her apartment, thought somebody was in there, and she shot him and killed him. So there's been a lot of focus on this, and so now this ex-cop has been convicted of murder in the neighbor's shooting. It was the saddest and I think one of the worst stories, like I said, that I have seen in a very long time. The video they had of her, she was distraught when it happened, and she seemed pretty distraught during the case, but she's been found guilty of shooting a neighbor she thought was an intruder. And you can bet that there's been a lot of conversations about this story, not just in Texas and in Dallas, but really all over the nation, as to, was that fair? Was it foul? Was this the right verdict? And then what's the sentencing going to be for Amber Geiger? That's, of course, the other part of this. And you know, will she, you know, how many years, etc., what's that going to look like when ultimately the judge decides how that's going to go down? And I have to throw this out here because we talked about opioids and the opioid crisis and the Slacker family and OxyContin and what's going on with that. Johnson & Johnson settled with two Ohio counties over opioids, because remember, they're in the thick of this thing too, and the fact that they settle, I think, is pretty interesting. And the deal is with Cuyahoga and Summit counties, and it comes on the heels after an Oklahoma judge ordered the New Brunswick, New Jersey-based healthcare conglomerate to pay $572 million over the marketing of opioids in that state. So I think when we talk about health crises and we look what's going on with vaping and states that are banning it or discussing it and cities that are doing that, and then we look at the opioid crisis and these lawsuits against Johnson & Johnson and what happened with the Slackler family and OxyContin and the fact that they found two different wire transfers of $1 billion each, this is something that we're also talking about, how we're dealing with the opioid crisis and what the fallout is of that. All right, and many of you had lots to say about it, so we're going to hop to the mailbag next.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive. The list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
And we head to the mailbag, once again, full, and it includes impeachment, it includes the opioid crisis, it includes vaping. Let's start with this one, impeachment and reaction to that. This one from Jake, who says, Kate, I am so tired of the Democrats and what the president calls the witch hunt or the coup. To me, I agree with you in the past when you talked about Russia, and then there was nothing there, but of course we spent a gazillion dollars trying to go after the president. Look, if he's guilty, then nail him. If he's not guilty, then leave this alone. It puts us all in turmoil. It wastes a lot of airtime. It wastes a lot of our breath. And it sucks the life out of us, I think, and the rest of the country. What do you think? Well, I think, here's what I think, exactly what you said. If there is something there, then nail it. If there is nothing there, then move on from there. It was another wild, crazy day in the Trump-Ukraine scandals, the best way to put that, because there was all kinds of things that happened. Pompeo, Giuliani, the impeachment inquiry, and, you know, I saw something today is, will the Senate remove Trump? And then I saw that House Democrats are warning Pompeo to stop intimidating witnesses. So then you have that supposedly happening behind the scenes, and what does that mean? They issued a warning to the Secretary of State, saying in a letter sent Tuesday afternoon, the chairman of the House Intelligence, Foreign Affairs, and Oversight Committees told Pompeo that any effort to prevent officials from speaking to Congress is illegal and will constitute evidence of obstruction of the impeachment inquiry, period. So that response came just
hours, after Pompeo wrote to the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Congressman Engel of New York, and notified him that the proposed dates for depositions didn't provide enough time for the department and its employees to prepare. So that's where we are with that. And as of Tuesday night late, Schiff, Engel, Cummings sent a letter to the Deputy Secretary of State, John Sullivan, claiming that Pompeo now appears to have an obvious conflict of interest in the Ukraine inquiry due to his reported involvement in the phone call between Trump and the Ukrainian president. So, like I said, every day there is a twist. It's like we're sitting in a pitch meeting in Hollywood and someone says, okay, now let's do this instead. Now let's move in this direction instead. And that's exactly what's happening here. So the upshot of all of what I just said is Pompeo, the Secretary of State, intimidating witnesses. Is he intimidating witnesses or not? And while all of that is going on, and where you have, you know, this whistleblower, and how's the whistleblower going to get in and out of the Capitol, and what's going to happen there, and et cetera, you have the president, according to the New York Times, suggesting that migrants should be shot in the legs. And so what does that mean? In the border wars, what's happening is that one of the things that the president said when you're talking about shutting down the entire U.S.-Mexico border is one thing that could be done is hit them in the legs to slow them down after they cross the southern border. He suggested that, I guess, back in March. And the Times was reporting it as an excerpt from the book Border Wars Inside Trump's Assault on Immigration that cites interviews with more than a dozen White House and administration officials directly involved, saying that's what he said. So the Times report is a look into how complicated the issue of immigration is for the administration that has not been able to fulfill what the president talked about. His signature campaign thing was, or promise anyway, his signature campaign promise was that he would do something, and he unfortunately has not been able to do that. And that's what the Times was talking about, that migration over the southern border has been at the root of most of the frenzied, you know, rhetoric at this point. And that's one of the, you know, this is one of the letdowns of what Donald Trump has promised and has tried to do. So the president is frustrated, and he took a moment, I guess, to hit the reset button, and he wants it to be fixed quickly, but there doesn't seem to be any kind of quick fix. And we know that because how often have we talked on this show? There were laws on the books. The laws weren't at all executed, and so this is what we get years and years later when you have too many people coming in and you have all kinds of problems at the border, and then the debates just seem slanted or in one direction, and there is no answer for this. Nobody comes up with the right answer, and then you have crazy things that are tweeted and tensions run incredibly high. And ever since I have done this show, and I've done this show over 10 years, there's never been anyone that's come up with the answer to what we have to do now. Okay, here's where we are. We talk about a wall. We talk about ways to have people come back and be made legal citizens, but it all seems to end up in the same spot. And the administration is hell-bent on trying to figure out a way to make this campaign promise pay off, but so far, no go on that. I mean, absolutely no go. All right, I went down a rabbit hole, so let's get back on this. This one is from Sam. Sam says, Kate, oh my gosh, I can't believe what happened in Dallas with the policewoman who now is going to go to prison for murdering who she thought was an intruder but was actually her neighbor. I think it is a very sad story, and I think the family had every right to be furious, and I think they did the right thing by really trying to get people made aware of the situation, because it wasn't right. I mean, how can they possibly get back on track in their lives? I mean, when you have a son who's murdered simply for sitting in his apartment because a police officer, of all people, mistakenly thinks it's her apartment and someone's broken in, somebody has to pay the price for that. That was the right decision by that jury. We'll see what ultimately that sentence is. Right, this one is from Stephen, and Stephen says, Kate, I was thinking about you today. You've been traveling with this show, and I was wondering where you're going next. Well, the answer to that is I'm in New York City. And I have to say, I mean, it's a work trip, obviously, so I haven't been, it's not like I've been all over the city, but I've had some time in walking to really experience some of the best weather. You know, we were talking about in Spokane, you got snow. In Montana, crazy amounts of snow. And there certainly is no conversation about snow in New York City. It's the opposite, that the weather is in the upper 70s, and at the high point was like the mid-80s. I move on to this one. This one is from Bill. Bill says, hey, no matter what, I think the whistleblower should be heard and certainly protected. Listen, I'm a lifelong Republican, but I don't think that we jump on a bandwagon. Let the whistleblower, you know, report what they think they know, and then let the people that we've elected figure out where we're going with this. I think even Chuck Grassley agrees. Yeah, you're right about that. He defended, the Republican from Iowa defended the whistleblower who brought the complaint against the Prez over that Ukrainian telephone call with the president of the Ukraine back in late July. He said, you know, the person followed the whistleblower protection laws and should be heard and protected. And he said we should always work to respect whistleblowers' requests for confidentiality. I would have to agree with that because, I mean, here's the thing. Let the facts or what he says are the facts be heard, and then, like I said, move from there. We don't want to discourage people from whistleblowing if they see something that's corrupt or wrong or whatever it is, because the more we dissuade, the more we won't know. And we certainly don't want to live in a country where we shut down, whether we like whoever the politician is or whatever the circumstance is. That's not right. I mean, you have to have that gateway open. So Grassley is, whether he likes it or not, he's 100% right about that. I mean, he chaired the Senate Judiciary Committee in the last congressional term, and he pretty much knocked uninformed speculation about the whistleblower and warned against further reports on the person's identity after the New York Times disclosed last week that the complaint is a male CIA officer, because the more breadcrumbs you throw out there, the easier it is for reporters who are covering it day in and day out to figure out who that person is. All right, hang with us. Much more coming your way. I'll meet you on the other side.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Be USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The State Department's Inspector General has called an urgent meeting behind closed doors on Capitol Hill on Wednesday to brief key lawmakers about documents related to Ukraine. The IG operates mostly independent of the State Department and investigates abuse and mismanagement. It doesn't need approval from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to approach Congress with information. Meanwhile, five current and former staffers have been barred from giving statements as part of the House impeachment investigation. In a letter to the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Secretary Mike Pompeo said there's no legal basis for the committee's threat that the failure of the officials to meet their timeline for documents and testimony would constitute obstruction of the impeachment inquiry. He also accused House Democrats of seeking to intimidate State Department officials. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world are on a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or 800-289-2646. Or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
Join me, George Norrie, at the Health Freedom Expo October 25th and 26th in Tinley Park near Chicago. The Health Freedom Expo is an incredible weekend exploring the latest in natural and alternative medicine with more than 100 lectures, workshops, and exhibits. Meet leading experts including Patch Adams, Lisa Oz, Ocean Robbins, Doc Wallach, Aaron Elizabeth, and so many more. Plus, I'll host a luncheon and discussion on natural healing breakthroughs. The Health Freedom Expo can help you learn to achieve a naturally vibrant and healthy life. Join us to explore how you can take your wellness into your own hands and meet others who are doing the same thing. Get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976. That's 1-888-658-3976. TrinityHealthExpo.com or 1-888-658-3976.
I just want to swim on an island far away from all of the people. I just want to swim in the ocean. I just want to live on an island. I just want to eat coconuts and drink all day, lay in the sun and eat good food and drink all the water. I just want to live on an island.
Wow, this is a great thing because this is a place that I've always wanted to go, and now she's making me fall in love with it. Montserrat. Imagine having a villa there. What a life that would be. And then you write this novel, and it parallels your life. Adair Arlen is in our virtual green room on that special island now, and she's here to talk to all of us. Hey, Adair, how are you?
I'm doing just great. Thanks, Kate. Hope you are, too.
I am, but before we dive into this and the book called The House of Tomorrow, what's it like living on that island? It's beautiful. For everybody who doesn't know, she sent me, you wouldn't know this, but she sent me a little video of the place, and I got to tell you, that is a slice of heaven, isn't it?
It really is. It's pure air, pure fresh water out of the tap. It's spring water. And it's, of course, we had mangoes, fresh mangoes for breakfast, have mangoes almost throughout the year, papaya, bananas, pineapple, which grows on a stalk. It surprised me. Being from Chicago, I'm not used to tropical fruit. But this island does provide just about everything you could want.
Yeah, I bet. It certainly looked that way to me. And you did what you're supposed to do when you write a novel, when you write any kind of a book. You talk about places that you've been, and you used places where you've been. So in this novel, The House of Tomorrow, it starts with a 9-year-old boy named Paul. Tell us about Chicago and being born and raised there.
Well, most of the year is winter, except for July and August, which are very hot. I love Chicago, though. When I was in my 20s, you couldn't get me out of there. There's so much to do. It's a wonderful city, or it was, anyway. I hear it's not so good these days in the news. However, being raised there was a very good experience for me, anyway. And working there was a lot of fun, too.
I bet. And so I want to tell people this. You worked at Playboy magazine at the height of Playboy magazine for 5.5 years. And when I first saw that sentence, people, I thought, I wonder if Adair was a Playboy bunny. But you worked as an office manager at the mansion before you left. What was that like?
Well, it was never boring. I'm groping for words here. I'm trying to be an author, and I can't find the right word. For example, I'd be sitting at my desk in the morning, and some female would walk in and hand me some money. Everybody there was like a country club. You sign for everything. You sign for your meals. Bunnies did live on the fourth floor, so they lived there at very, very reasonable rent. And I'd look at this person questioningly, and she said, "Don't you recognize me? I'm Bunny Corrine or something or other," when she was paying her rent. So that was an interesting, I would meet Mr. Hefner, of course, while there, although he was pretty nocturnal. He wouldn't, but he edited every word in the magazine himself.
Wow, I did not know that. Wow, every word in the magazine, huh?
Yeah, he was an editor with another men's magazine. I think it was Esquire.
Wow.
And he asked for a very frugal sort of raise, and they didn't give it to him. So he got some friends together and started Playboy.
Wow, and the rest is history. So you mirror that. You have a character named Paul, because this is a novel, and he has a saloon, a supper club, and he meets this woman named Lily Greening, and she worked at Southern Illinois University. The pictures are so vivid in my mind. And you talk about what that was like for Paul. And what was it like for Paul? He had an interesting job, too, very similar to yours, right?
Well, Paul was a private eye. I have never tried even to be a private eye. although Paul was born and raised in Chicago, but he had a very different childhood than I had.
And he was born and raised in Chicago, and then this character goes to New Orleans. Boy, you couldn't get a bigger contrast from Chicago to New Orleans. You threw that twist in. Why New Orleans?
Well, because I too had lived in New Orleans. I went there, and that actually where I met my future husband, who is now my present husband, and. And we had it's a very romantic city, New Orleans is. Neighborhoods and lots of charm. I loved living there.
Yeah, it does have lots of charm. And you talk about living in a place called North Shore. What was North Shore like? I'm not familiar with it.
Well, the North Shore is across Lake Pontchartrain. And it's a lot of people live on the North Shore and work in New Orleans. And so it's just referred to as the North Shore. It's completely different. It's not. There are small towns there, and it's rural, a lot more greenery, foliage, et cetera, than you find in New Orleans, which is a big city.
Yeah.
But it's the perfect size city, I thought.
Oh, Oh, yeah. And, you know, you take the character Paul, who, which, first of all, Paul, it seems like he's always planning on this saloon super, you know, super supper club. Whatever happens with the, I don't want you to give away the whole book, but what happens with the saloon club thing? Is that a good fit for him?
Yes, actually it is, because he gets to work undercover while he's there. He also works for the Drug Enforcement Administration undercover, and this is his persona, saloon owner.
Wow. We're speaking with Adair Arlen. The book is called The House of Tomorrow. So, you know, Adair, what we would call that today, we'd call that a very good side hustle.
Yes, exactly right.
Right? He had a good side hustle that also worked for what he was doing. And then, just like you, he goes for a long weekend from Antigua, where he was staying with a DEA controller, his DEA controller, and boom, he does what you did, right? He falls in love with the island.
That's what happens to him. And eventually he says he's going to return, and eventually he does return. In future books.
In future books, I like that. So there, so that's the idea. When you wrote The House of Tomorrow, the idea was, and you see this with some very prolific authors, they have a character and you want to know and follow that character more, and then there's more to tell. Did you find that when you first started to write that it just kind of poured out of you?
Well, that's, I think writing is not easy. It's a hard, to me anyway, it's hard. I've heard of writers who say, oh, I just can't stop writing, I'm born to write, etc. But to me, it's hard work. I keep checking my watch, can I quit yet? You know, have I done 500 words or 1,000 words or whatever it is? Because I get to the end of a scene and I'm stuck, I think, what happens next? And,
yeah.
And I have to reread what I've just written to meld gracefully into the next scene.
I like that. What happens next? So it's the cliffhangers that the cliffhanger that takes us through, because that's how you do a novel. And here you are, or here he is, also, in an island, on an island, and in a villa, very different from the start from Chicago. For your own personal life, did you ever think that your life would take this kind of a twist?
No, I never did. I thought I would just eventually get married and have a family and so forth and fade into obscurity. But no, I seem to have had a very, I've had some exciting times in my life.
I like that. It has exciting times. Yes, living in a villa in Montserrat. Are you kidding? When you tell people, like, you didn't think you would end up here, when you tell people that you've written a book, you have these characters, you're taking them through other books, what do the people say? What do the people in the West Indies say?
Well, they've given me a couple of book readings, the library has. And this is an English island, by the way. It's what they used to call British Crown Colony, but now that sounds too colonial, so they call it British Overseas Territory. And so we are cared for by the English government. My husband happens to be English, so he fits in here. He lived in America for 20-plus years, and he said, time for me to go back to England. But England, when we got ready to move, we thought we'd be financially suicidal. So he did his homework and we came here. He wanted an island which had plenty of fresh water, plenty of clean air, and was English speaking and was mountainous. And we've got that all here. It is mountainous.
Yeah, boy. I feel sorry for you, Adair. That's a rough life.
I'll take all the sympathy I can get.
I love that. Adair Arlen, the book is called The House of Tomorrow. Pick it up. You're going to want to go to Montserrat. You're going to want to go to an island somewhere in the West Indies, that's for sure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't wait to see, by the way, what you do in the future, because we know that this story and your character will continue, and because he's juggling some pretty interesting things, I think it'll be fascinating. So again, thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Wow, I cannot wait to bring this story to you, so I don't want to waste any more time. Josephine Barnett is in our virtual green room from Australia. She and her husband, her late husband, Craig, had such an incredible relationship and built such an interesting web for an entrepreneur team, especially, that this is a book that you absolutely need. The second she and I talked, I knew this is some of the pieces that I was missing in the beginning, and I wish I had, being an entrepreneur myself. And the name of the book is called Being an Entrepreneur. Josephine, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate.
So you and I talked about this off the air. Why write the book? What made you and your late husband decide, okay, we're going to put this book together?
Okay, so Craig and I decided that this book had to go ahead. And the reason is that so many books about entrepreneurs focus too much on the how-to. However, as we discovered over 15 years, the last 15 years in business, being entrepreneurs, is that there is so much more than just having the idea, the innovation, the project, and having the business background. We found that relationships and the people focus is so critical to navigating, I guess, that minefield of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and as you say, that minefield, when we talk about people, what happened to you when you and Craig, who had two different sides of the business, went out there and had to talk to people and were building your partnership and your entrepreneurship? What happened with a lot of those presentations, pitches, et cetera?
Yeah, look, you know, I guess early on in our relationship, when we first started in our business relationship, we identified we were primarily in the technology industry, and I particularly found being a female in that industry was a major blocker. And although that was quite demotivating at first, you know, Craig and I worked together and we were able to establish this, I guess, relationship where I had a lot of the business background. He was the, I guess, the innovator entrepreneur that he talks about in the book, whereas I'm more of the business entrepreneur. And it was really about coming together in a team and saying, okay, well, I have this blocker. I'm not kind of, you know, being a female, I'm not really getting seen as, I guess, you know, being, I guess, a critical person in business. And so we decided, okay, Craig will be the front man for this. However, as we went through, we started to find that there were blockers all the way through. And what we soon discovered is that it didn't matter who you were, or people were always going to find a reason to block you. And if they weren't blocking you, there were people trying to jump on and kind of get a piece of your success. And really navigating those relationships was critical. And that is what we needed to write down. And that is what we've put in this book.
Yeah, and when you talk about the blockers, why is that? Is that jealousy, comparison, or they just flat out want a piece of what you have?
I think it's all of the above. I think at the end of the day, people are people, and there's a lot of personalities out there for good and bad. Craig and I talk about in the book about developing a circle of people and how to develop that circle of people that will enable your success. We also identify all of the personalities and, I guess, games that people play and why they play them. They play them for jealousy. They play them for, I guess, wanting to get part of the success. There's a number of different reasons, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that often people just don't like to see other people succeed because that makes them feel inferior. And so there's so many different reasons that they will find to block your success.
Oh, boy, so sad, but so vital, this information. And again, you can get this on Amazon. Being an entrepreneur, we're speaking with Josephine Barnett, and she's talking about the book she and Craig, her late husband, put together. And what you said there is so key, the circle of people, the people around you who will enable your success. Give us a little taste of that, Josephine. How do you find those people?
Look, you know, in the book, we talk about first starting by trusting no one. Trust no one initially and then build up those relationships over the time. Craig refers to some key people, people that you can bounce your idea off and they're far enough away from your project that they can give a real independent view of what your market might look like. Then you're going to have the people that are going to back you up. So people that when you need to step away from a toxic relationship, if you don't have the confidence or know how to do it, then you can get these people to come in and do it for you. Now, Craig talks about the bulldog in the book. And the reason he mentions the bulldog is that I was always the bulldog because I was a lot more non-emotional than he was. And I was able to go in and say, look, this relationship's just not working for us. I'm really sorry, no hard feelings. However, you know, being a bit of a more emotional type, Craig found that very difficult to sever toxic relationships. So having that partnership and having someone in that circle that you can trust enough that will come in and, I guess, step in when you need help is critical. And then we also talk about having people do the things, have the skills that you're not good at. You might be great at your innovation. You might be great at your project. But you may not be a great accountant. You may not be a great lawyer. So make sure that you don't try and take on all of these things initially. If over time you learn little bits about accounting, fine, do the things you know. But up front, don't try and be everything in your business because it will not result in success.
Yeah, I was just going to say, don't you think that, Josephine, that's the problem for a lot of people? They try to wear so many hats, they just completely drown in what they're doing?
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, we just sometimes have to put our hand up and say, we don't know what we don't know. However, there is somebody else that does. And over time, you know, you need to test those relationships, and you need to find a very good, you know, accountant. You need to find a very good lawyer, someone that, you know, is on your side and is doing what you need them to do. And look, you know, we have dealt with those people before where they have not. They've kind of seen, oh, okay, great, this person's going to succeed with this project, and then they start to unreasonably put their fees up. You don't want people like that in your circle. You need people that you're going to be trusted, and they're going to help support you all the way through until the finalization of your project.
Yeah, I love that. All right, we're speaking to Josephine Barnett again. She's in our Australian green room, our virtual green room, and the name of the book is Being an Entrepreneur. What was the most exciting thing for you about being an entrepreneur, especially with you and Craig doing it hand in hand?
We had a wonderful team. Craig was definitely the innovator, this innovator. He was able to see things from a really bird's eye view, things that I couldn't see. I was really good at the execution, and I was really good at motivating him. And I love the dynamics of that relationship, because it's very, I guess, we were able to sometimes miss a line. And when we miss a line, it was a real big miss. And it was actually a talent to kind of bring us back into line so that we could complement each other so much. And once you have that perfect dynamic, wow, you are really able to succeed really well. You're really counteracting the balance. And I think it's just, look, some of the things that was exciting. Being an entrepreneur is an exciting way to live. You really step outside the box. And I guess the rules that we think are there are actually not there. An entrepreneur just removes all the rules. And that's one of the things that I guess gave me the thrill of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I love it. What do you hope people take away from reading Being an Entrepreneur?
People need to understand, and I really hope that from reading this book, people understand that succeeding in your project is more than just having the product and having a great product at that, because a lot of great products never see the light of day. It is about having the right people, understanding the environment, understanding that people will block you for many different reasons, and being able to identify that, being able to really set yourself up for success, both from a relationship and people perspective, as well as a product perspective and a business perspective. So they need to really get that holistic view of what being an entrepreneur is. And I believe that this book brings balance to that.
Oh, balance. And balance is what you need, right, when you're an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. So much balance. And it's a very difficult thing to get right. I think the key thing too to remember, and it's mentioned in the book, is that don't be scared to fail. You will fail. You will not get it right the first time. Nobody walked the first time they stood up. So it's okay to fall, and so long as you know how to get back up and not make the same mistake again, you will succeed.
Yeah, I love it. Perfect place to end this. Pick up this book, Being an Entrepreneur, Josephine Barnett. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.